who destroys every sickness. He breaks every chain. He sets the captive free. Come on, lift it up for Jesus one more time. Yeah. Yeah. I love that song. I love that song. It's one of my favorite worship songs right now because it is so true that there is no name like the name of Jesus. There's no name that destroys the power of darkness over our lives other than the name of Jesus. And that should make us celebrate. That should make us shout. That should make us worship, because worship is the evidence of things, or the evidence of goodness of God in our lives. Amen? That's what worship is. That's why we are as loud as we are. That's why we are as radical as we are. You're lucky you didn't see me running around this theater right now, because that worship, that's how good God is. That's how good God is. And so we're just excited that you could join us this morning. You guys can be seated. You don't have to stand up any longer. Unless you really want to. I mean, if you want to, that's fine. You know, if you want to jump up and shout amen, that's good. It's all good for us. You know, shout a woody woot or something. But, but you know, I'm just excited you guys could be here this morning. I'm excited about this new series we're doing. Is anybody liking the new series? It's called Live. It's called Live. And just to update real quick, Pastor Dave is living, thank God. Come on. Pastor Dave is alive and doing well, and he is recovering. For those of you who did not get to catch it on our prayer live stream, Pastor Dave's surgery went very well. They pretty much said it was textbook. Everything was good, clear. The doctor looked around and said, you know what, there's really no evidence that the cancer spread or anything. And they were able to remove the tumor, and they felt the tumor in the bladder. So, I mean, go ahead, give it up for Jesus, because that's a miracle in and of itself. You don't understand. We prayed that very prayer the day before he went in for surgery. The leaders were with him, and we prayed, God, let there be no evidence of that cancer spreading. We pray that you have contained it and that all of the surgery will go smoothly, and that's exactly what happened. And so he's recovering. He's had a little bit of a rough time recovering. Nothing major, but, you know, his blood pressure and hemoglobin numbers all jacked up, stuff that's beyond my mind capacity. So, but he is expected to come home today. So that's good news. So continue to pray for our pastor. Continue to pray for his health and his recovery. He introduced our series last week by preaching an awesome message. How many thought that was a really good word? All right. Three things about living the life now. And three things he told us we should do were to prioritize worship, make coming to church, make worshiping God, living for God, your number one priority, right? Then he told us about being concerned for the spiritual well-being of others, caring about others, loving others, and interceding for others. And then he ended up talking about, I blanked out. Worship, prioritize worship. Ah, living generously. Yeah. Living generously, right? Living generously and being motivated by our love for God and our love for people to live with generosity and giving of ourselves and giving of our times and giving of our finances to bless God and to bless others. Amen? And so it's an awesome, what's that? Look, somebody was paying attention. Promoting the spiritual well-being of others. But it was awesome. It's awesome. So in this new series, the reason why we called it Live is because January is typically the time of the year where people are examining their lives. They're looking at their past. They're looking at the last year, and they're going, okay, what goals did I meet? What goals did I not meet? Did I get my brand new car? Did I get my bigger house? Did I stop the smoking? Did I stop the cussing? Am I loving my wife better? These are all questions that are running through people's minds in the beginning of the year, because everybody goes into the new year with the mentality that it's a new year and new me, right? 2018, a new me, right? 2018, new me in 2018. That's what I keep hearing around. And that's a good mentality to have. But in order to find out how well you're going to do in the new year, you got to ask yourself a question, right? And the question is simply this, and this is the question we want to answer throughout this entire series, is how you living? Look at your neighbor and tell them, how you living? Not how are you living. It's, you got to put some swagger on it. How you living? How you living? Here's what that means. It means, how are you living? How's your life? How are you doing this thing called life? What decisions are you making? What things are you walking into that's causing you to either move forward or stumble and get blocked up? How are you living? Look at your neighbor again. How you living? How you living? That's the answer. That's the question that we want to answer with this series: is how are you living? How is your life? If you don't answer that question, you can't. You there's no moving forward from there in 2018 because you're not examining yourself. You're not asking yourself the critical questions. How you living? How you living? And there's no better way to find out how you're supposed to live or what decisions you should make and how you should live your life than to look at the Word of God. And there's nobody that could tell us about how to live better than Paul. Paul the Apostle. He wrote more books in the New Testament than any other apostle. What better person to tell us how to live than him? Let's go to the book of Philippians. Look at Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. We got it up there? No? Okay. Wait. There it goes. Awesome. Is that New King James? Yeah? Okay. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Next verse. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind me, reaching forward to those things which are ahead of me. I press toward to the goal for the prize of the upward call of God. These verses are the entire premise of the next 3 weeks. We're going to talk about living for the next 3 weeks. All right? And these are the three things that I got from what Paul was saying. First of all, he says, listen, I have not apprehended. I have not already attained. I am not already perfect. Here's why he said that. If you rewind to the few verses before, he's talking to the Philippians, and he's saying, listen, if anyone has a reason to boast, is me. I'm a pure Jew. I was born Jewish. My parents were both Jews. There's no sense of, you know, there's no 30% this or 20% that, or I'm a quarter Jewish and 15th Irish. No, he said, I was born a Jew. I studied the law more than anyone. No one can surpass me in zeal. See, I can relate to this because growing up all my life, I always heard, Jose, you're just not Puerto Rican enough. Like, dude, you weren't even born on the island. At least I was, you know? But because I haven't had babies by the age of 13, I'm not Puerto Rican? Ooh. Sorry. Slipped out. Stereotypes. Paul says, I'm 100% Jew. There's no halfsies, there's no quarters. I'm 100% Jew. If anybody has a reason to boast, it's me. I'm more zealous than anybody has ever been, and I could prove how zealous I was because I was killing people who claimed to be followers of God because I didn't think that they were truly following God. So he's like, if anybody has a reason to boast, it's me. But then he says, but let me tell you, I have not attained. I have not yet been made perfect. Here's what he's saying simply. I'm still trying to figure this out. I'm still trying to work this all out. I'm not perfect. I don't have it all 100%. I'm still walking this thing called life in Christ out. And then he says, this is how I do it. One thing I do. Now, listen to what he says. One thing I do. Not one thing I will do. Not one thing I'm going to do. Not one thing I should do. One thing I do. Present tense. Today. Right now. This moment. This is what I do. This is how I live. So we're going to talk. Next week, we're going to talk about how to live for today. Look to your neighbor and say, live for today. Live for today, because what you do today will impact your tomorrows. Right? So we're going to talk about how do we live for today. Then he says, one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind me. He's saying, I'm going to leave that in the past. I'm forgetting my past. I'm forgetting my failures. I'm forgetting what's behind me. In other words, what he's saying is, I'm living past my yesterdays. That's what we're going to talk about today, is I'm living past my yesterdays. How to live past our yesterdays. Because you can't move forward. You can't live in today if you're living for yesterday. And then he says, I'm forgetting those things which are behind me, and I'm reaching forward. Everybody say forward. Forward to those things which are ahead of me. So in other words, he's saying, I'm going to live for tomorrow. He's saying, I'm living past my yesterdays. I'm living for today, and I'm going to live for tomorrow. But it all starts today. Then he says, not that I have attained or am already perfect, but I press on. There's that pressing on, that forward movement, that looking ahead, that I may lay hold for that of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ. What's the whole point of life? How you living? Paul tells you, you live for Christ. That's the prize. That's the goal. That's what I'm reaching for. I'm living for Christ. But how can we live for Christ? He gives us the entire roadmap in those few verses. He says you got to live for today. You got to live past your yesterdays. And you got to live for your future. That's what we're going to do in the next 3 weeks. That's our roadmap. But we're going to start with living past our yesterdays. Because you cannot live in today focusing on your past. But how do we do that? How do we live past our yesterdays? See, if there's one thing that we know true as Christians is this. Jesus Christ came, and these are the words that came right out of his mouth. He says, I came that they may have life and life abundantly. Well, what does that life look like? How do we live that out? What's that look like for us? If he came that we may have life, why are we walking in death? Why are we focusing on things that are behind us? We've got to live past our yesterdays. So I'm going to give you three things we need to do in order to live past our yesterdays. You guys with me? I got 12 pages of notes, so bear with me. I'm going to try to zoom through this stuff, all right? Pastor Dave made the joke. I'm going to try to prove him wrong. We're going to get out of here before him. Yeah, all right. When he gets back, you guys are going to be like, thank you, Lord. All right, let's do this. Three things we need to do to live past our yesterdays, okay? Three things. Here we go. We got to live in forgiveness. We got to live in forgiveness. Now, this is across the entire board. Okay? Because we're all in one of three things. We either struggle and cannot accept the fact that God has forgiven us. We struggle with the fact that even though God has forgiven us, we have a problem forgiving ourselves. Or we have a problem forgiving others. We don't embrace the fact that God has forgiven us. We struggle with the fact that we can't forgive ourselves. Or some of us are holy, don't need to forgive, don't need God to forgive us, and we don't need to forgive ourselves. And we thank you for joining us this morning, Jesus. We're glad you're here. Can you deal with the hearts of these people? But for those of us who think we're so holy that we don't need any forgiveness, the problem that we have is that we can't forgive others. Here's the thing. For the first one, it's simple. If we're going to live for Christ, we're all going to have to grapple with this thing called forgiveness and decide today that we're going to walk in it. Let me silence the voice of the devil right now. If you have put your trust in Jesus Christ, if you have repented of your sins and put your trust in the finished work that he died on the cross, rose again to give you life, let me silence the voice of the enemy right now. You are, in fact, forgiven. The Bible tells us so. If we look at 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, he says this, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, I don't have a very high education, okay? I didn't go past high school. I dropped out of college. There's no shame in my game. There probably should be, but I don't have a deep theological degree. But here's what I found out in my search of what the word all means. It literally just means all. Not most, not some, not specific things, all of our sins. He cleansed us from all unrighteousness. Therefore, all we need to do is live in this thing called forgiveness. There is not a crime, nor sin, nor anything that God cannot forgive you for. The Bible says that his hand is not so short that it cannot save, that it cannot reach you, even to the deepest parts of hell. He could reach out to you and forgive you and save you. Some of us need to hear that this morning, because there are some things in our lives, some regrets, some failures, some sins, some crimes, some offenses that we've committed that we struggle with the fact, can he in fact truly forgive me? The Bible says yes. If you confess your sins before him, you put your trust in him, he is faithful and just to cleanse us, to remove all sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's the Bible. That's his word. That's what he says. That's what he decrees over your life. There's nothing too hard, nothing too impossible for that. So why do we still hold on to failures in our lives? Why do we still hold on to offenses that we've committed? Why do we still hold on to things that we've done in our past when God says, listen, I have forgiven you of that? There's another verse in the book of Micah that says, listen, he takes our sins and he casts them down into the deepest parts of the sea, never to be remembered again. Yet some of us are still holding on to it. What did Paul say? I'm forgetting those things which are behind. Some of us can't forgive ourselves. Well, if God has forgiven us, who cares what I think? Others of us have a problem. We're okay with God forgiving us. We're just not cool with forgiving others. We hold on to words people have spoken over our lives. We hold on to acts of, of, of hate and anger that people have treated us with. We hold on to the fact that our parents misused and abused us. We hold on to people. There's all kinds of things, all kinds of offenses that we refuse to let go of. And what it ends up becoming is a chain of bitterness, a chain of a hardened heart that really locks onto us and cannot stop us from moving ahead. To live, it stops us from living in the new life that God has provided for us. But here's the thing. Because you and I have been forgiven, then we're also called to forgive others. You see how this thing of forgiveness is not just, okay, like, it's not just about me. It's for everyone. Because we have to understand that we've been forgiven, but we also have to understand that we have to forgive others. Because the Bible says if we fail to forgive others, then God cannot forgive us. And so we wonder why we can't move ahead in life. It's because we're holding on to this bitterness. We're holding on to this offense. We're holding on to this shame. We're holding on to this guilt and just holding on to it. And some of us don't want to let it go, but then wonder why our future and our present sucks. Just keeping it real. It's got real quiet and awkward in here. I'm just keeping it real. There's some things in my life that I've had to let go of. I've had to be able to forgive my parents for not being good parents at times. I've had to be able to forgive people who have called, teachers who have called me stupid and told me that I'd never amount to anything, and people that have spoken things in my life. Listen, that stuff does not matter. It does not matter because I'm forgiven. And because I'm forgiven, the Bible says that God has made me new. This is what the Bible says. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Because I am forgiven, because I am in Christ, because I live for Christ, I am a new creation. Behold, all things have been made new, and all old things have passed. Listen to me, when it comes to your past, you have to be able to learn from it, but you cannot live in it. Because it's past. It's irrelevant. It's neglected. It's chopped off. It's killed. It is no longer a part of your life. Because you've been made new. Lars, you can come up here. Lars is going to help me with something to illustrate this. Where's my... It's right back there. It's okay. No, it's fine. You're just going to have to answer to all the people on Facebook and wondering where I'm going. I'm just kidding. I'm here, guys. No. So, here's the thing. There you go. You can hold it about right there. Back up, back up, back up, back up. They don't need to see you. They need to see me. He's good looking, though, isn't he? I have a hard time keeping up with this guy. I'm trying to, like... be as fashionable as these guys. You know, I can't get my hair to grow as much as Isaac, so my comb over doesn't look as good, but it's all good. But here's the thing. Oh, look, it's got a loop. That's awesome. All right, don't trip me, though. Here's the thing. This is how most of us live. This is how most of us see that verse. We say, God has made me new. All things have passed. There's just a little ounce that I want to hold on to. There's just a little piece. Lawrence is my past. I'm going to walk away from him, but I'm only going to leave him back there so much. And here's the thing. When you hold on to your past, it'll work for a little while. You're moving along. And then, wait a minute. Don't let me be stronger than you. You'll ruin my whole illustration. But it's like, wait. No. Okay, hold on. Maybe this will work. And that's how most of us live. Because we want to hold on to the past, stay right there, for as long as we can, but there's only so far that we could go. You cannot move forward if you're still holding on to what's behind you. You're a new creation. Old things have passed. Behold, all things are new. You have to live today knowing that that no longer matters. You can learn from it. You cannot live in it. You can hold it or hand it off, but you cannot hold on to it. Because it'll stop you from achieving the prize. It'll stop you from living for Christ. It'll stop you from moving ahead. You have to let go of what's behind you. You have to be new because God has called you new. Yeah. Most of the time, we don't live like a new creation. Thanks, Lawrence. We don't walk in what God has called us or created us to be because we're too busy still trying to be what God brought us out of. And so some of us want to be better husbands living like horrible ones. Some of us want to get a promotion and we can't even get up in the morning and we're still holding on to bad habits. Some of us are trying to walk in forgiveness, but we're still holding on to that little offense. I'm willing to forgive, but only to this extent. It covers every aspect of life. If God has made you new, then you got to walk in the newness that He's created you to be. So some of us want to be better husbands in 2018. Then guess what? You're going to have to learn how to communicate better. You're going to have to start washing some dishes, doing some laundry, picking up a vacuum, start providing, get off the video games and go get a job, do something different. Want to be better fathers. Want to be better mothers, but don't want to start spending some time with our kids. We want to be new, we just don't want to commit to the new. So write this down. The first one was live in forgiveness. The second one was live as a new creation. Live as a new creation. Understand that you've been made new. The third one is this. Live committed. Live committed. Live committed. Here's what it means. Have you ever gone to the gym after an entire year of never working out? See, my wife is good at reminding me about this. You know, she's like, I like cycling. I like to get on a bike and ride it, right? Yeah, to give you all the awesome image. Yes, I do wear the tights. I do rock it. Walk up and down the back. Bam! You know what I'm saying? But I like to cycle. And one of the things that I've been struggling with is my commitment to it. See, because I get up and I bought myself this indoor trainer for Christmas, thanks to her mom who gave me some money for Christmas, and I I got myself an indoor trainer, and the first day I got him, I'm like, yeah, I'm going to ride this thing like every day. It's going to be a new me in 2018, but I'm going to be skinnier, slimmer, I'm going to look so good, right? So I'm like, I'm going to get on this bike. I got on that bike, and 20 minutes into it, I wanted to jump off running. Like, forget this. Have you ever noticed that after not working for such a, or working out for so long, that the 40 push-ups you wanted to do really become 5? And the 34 miles you wanted I wanted to ride on my bike really only became 3? And so we expect to see results that we're not willing to commit to. Like, you want to do 100 push-ups, but you don't want to commit to the first 10 for the next 2 weeks. You want that new promotion, but you're not willing to commit to waking up every day early so you can get yourself ready, so you can get yourself to work on time, which means 15 minutes earlier than when you're scheduled. Like, you want to be debt-free, but you're not committed to paying off some of your debt. Or you want to be a better husband, but you can't commit to your wife. Or you want to be a better father, but you won't commit to spending time with your kids. Here's the thing. Real change requires commitment. If you want to live past your yesterdays, it's going to take you committing to your today. You cannot reach a destination that you're not committed to walking towards. Everything in this Christian walk is a journey. It's not a destination. Every day you got to wake up and make the decision that I'm committing to walking towards Christ. Every step I take, I'm committing to reaching the goal of the upward call of Jesus Christ. Every day you wake up, every morning you get up, you've got to get committed to reading your word. You've got to be committed to praying. You've got to be committed to spending some time with God. You've got to work out this issue of commitment if you don't want to look like your yesterdays. You've got to commit to change. Change doesn't come easy. You don't just wake up one morning after never working out and say, I'm going to do 500 push-ups without actually working towards that. That means you're going to have to leave your old habits behind. If you want to forgive people, you got to commit to leaving the offense behind. You've got to commit to leaving the bitterness behind you and commit towards walking towards Christ and walking in forgiveness and commit to loving people. If you want to stop feeling so lonely in the church, why don't you commit to twice a month? Twice a month. Most of our groups are twice a month. You just feel so alone in this walk. You feel so alone in the church. You feel like you have no relationships. Commit twice a month to come and get it connected to a small group. And I promise you, you won't feel so lonely anymore. Yeah. You wanna stop being so selfish in 2018? Commit to serving. We got plenty of places for you to serve here. You can help with the setup if you're good enough and can keep a note and can play some instruments and you can commit to living a life that is consecrated to God. Maybe you could get on here on the stage and serve on the worship team. But maybe you don't have to serve on the worship team. Maybe you can help serve some food or greet people. Yeah. You want to see change and you don't want to be so selfish to start committing to serving people. Yeah. It takes commitment. It takes commitment. Real change requires commitment. Here's why. Because compliance and commitment are two totally different things. See, compliance means you'll do what you have to do, you just don't want to do it. I'm going to do it, but I'm only doing it because I have to. I'm only doing it because it's required of me. I'm only doing it to make someone else happy. But it's not my heart's desire. See, compliance is just doing things just to do it. Commitment means your heart is into something. Commitment means I'm wholeheartedly devoted to this. My heart is in this. So if you want to walk past your yesterdays, if you want to live past your yesterdays, man, you've got to be committed. You've got to be committed to living today, to living for tomorrow. You've got to be committed to leave the things which are behind you, because those things are irrelevant. They have no positive influence in your life. You can learn from them, but please don't live in them. You've got to live in forgiveness. I wake up every day reminding yourself that you are a new creation, and I'm going to live a new way. I'm going to walk a new way. I'm going to talk a new way. I'm going to do things differently. But you also have to make the decision that you're going to live committed every single day, every single minute, every single hour. Because here's the thing. God never wants your compliance. He wants your commitment. Because God always wants your heart. God wants your heart. If he has your heart, he has your commitment. How do I know that? There's these guys in the book of Luke who come up to Jesus. And Jesus is surrounded by all these people. And this guy says to him, he said, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. He goes to Jesus. He says, I'll follow you wherever you go. And Jesus says to him, and this is what's so awesome about Jesus, because instead of Jesus saying, yeah, that's awesome, come on, join me, he says, let me tell you something. Foxes have a place to put their head, but the Lord, the Son of God, has nowhere to lay his head. Even foxes have a place to sleep. Foxes have a hole, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Then Jesus looks at this other guy and he says, hey, listen, follow me. And one guy looks at him and he says, Jesus, I'll follow you, but first let me go bury this person. And Jesus looks at him and he says, no, 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 forget it. Let the dead bury their dead. You go and preach the gospel. Now, Jesus sounds like he's really heartless, right? Look, he's like, I don't care who died in your family. Come and follow me and go preach the word. But it's a picture of what it's going to take to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. It's not that he's heartless. It's not that he doesn't care about those people in your family. He said to another guy, hey, follow me. And the guy says to him, hey, let me go plow these fields real quick. Let me go say bye to my family members. Let me finally bring some closure to some relationships, and then I will follow you. And Jesus says, anyone who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is not worthy of the kingdom. What's he saying throughout all of those stories? What's he saying to those people? He's saying, if you're going to follow me, it's going to take commitment. It's going to require your heart. It's going to require you to wake up every morning, never looking back, because if you look back, that makes you not worthy of my kingdom. What he's saying is it's going to take your heart. You want to see change in your life? It's going to take your heart. You want to see change in your relationships? It's going to take your heart. It's going to take your commitment. If you want to follow me, if you want to live for me, if you want to work every day, leaving what's behind you, living today, looking towards what's ahead, which is the upward call of Jesus Christ, if you're going to commit to me, if you're going to be my disciple, if you're going to follow me, then you got to commit. You've got to commit. See, some of us are stuck in our past. Some of us are stuck holding on to guilt and to shame and to bitterness and living as if God has never made us new. Because we struggle with living in forgiveness. We don't understand that He has made us a new creation. And we definitely refuse to commit. But God is saying today, if you want to live past your yesterdays, if you want to move forward, you got to forgive. And understand that I am here to forgive you. You got to let go of what's behind you. I'm just asking you to be committed to me. If you're wondering why you can't move forward in life, I would first encourage you to ask yourself, how you living? And then ask yourself, am I walking in forgiveness? Do I truly believe that He's forgiven me? And if I don't believe it, is it because I have not confessed my sins to Him? See, here's the truth. Here's the truth. Every single one of us, from the bassist to the drummer to the guy standing in front of you preaching, we all have something that we need God to forgive us for. Every single one of us has failed. Every single one of us has messed up. Every single one of us has sinned. You can't escape from that truth. If you've ever told a lie, that makes you a liar. If you've ever stolen something, that makes you a thief. If you ever use God's name in vain, that means that you are a blasphemer. We all, at some point or another, have broken one, if not two, most likely all 10 of the commandments, which makes us all sinners, which means that's why Paul says, for we all have fallen short of the glory of God. Not one of us is righteous. We all need forgiveness. But in order to receive that forgiveness, in order to embrace it, we have to make the decision today to bring it before Him and confess it and lay it at His feet and say, God, I've messed up. God, I have failed you. God, I am broken. God, if you look at my life, you'll see how guilty and shameful it is. But God, I believe that you have died for me. I believe that you can save me. I believe that you can forgive me. That's the only way that we can enter into salvation, is by listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Even now, as I speak, He's speaking to some of you, and He's speaking in your ears, and He's saying, go up, get up, and ask Him for your forgiveness. Ask Him for His forgiveness. Ask Him for His mercy. Confess your sins. When the Holy Spirit does that in you, it's time to listen. It's time to listen. You stand to your feet. Every head bowed, every eye closed. It's time to listen. The Holy Spirit calls out to you this morning by name. He says, I'm here to forgive you. I'm here to love you. I'm here to show you mercy. But you've got to confess. You've got to confess that you are broken. You've got to confess that you are in need. That you've got to confess that you believe and you trust in the work that Jesus Christ did on the cross. Listen, there's nothing so shameful that he will not forgive you. There's nothing so bad, so horrible that he will not forgive you. If you're here today and you say, you know what? I want 2018 to be a new me. I want to live a new life. I want to be a new creation. I want to walk in forgiveness. This day I'm making a commitment to Jesus Christ. If that's you, would you lift up your hand? Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. That's awesome. If you've lifted up your hands, just make this quick prayer with me. Father God, thank you for your sacrifice. I pray today that you would forgive me of my sins. I acknowledge that you died on the cross to save me from my sins. Cleanse me with your blood. This day forward, I put my trust in you. Never to be the same again. To walk in the forgiveness that you have provided for me. And from this day forward, you will be my Lord. You will be my Savior. You will be my Master. You will be my King. If you've made that prayer today, I want you to know that there's a celebration for you in heaven. But some of us, listen, if you made that prayer, you are in fact a new creation. The old things have passed, all things have been made new, but you have to remain committed. The Bible says, let them remain in me as I remain in the Father. You got to remain in Jesus. Continue to walk this thing called life. Be committed to getting together with others that will encourage you, that will build you up. I promise you, if you commit, if you walk in that forgiveness, if you leave the old behind you, I promise you that you will look back next year and see a new you. I promise you that you will look back in 2019 and say 2018 was the year that I became better, that life became better. We're going to sing this song because I believe that there are still some that need to deal with unforgiveness. They need to deal with forgiving others. They need to deal with the fact that they can't forgive themselves. All you have to do is bring it to the altar. Sing this song with us.